This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello again. We do want to welcome you to the Uncensored Dad, the Uncensored Word program. With me as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Jim Earl Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri. And myself, Russ Earl from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Today we're looking at a topic of, let's say, Gibbs stressed away. You know, there's really different ways you could title this, but we're looking at really basically how to overcome difficult times. You know, there are numerous verses stretched throughout the scriptures that at various times in men's lives and women's lives where stressful situations arise and they have to handle it. You know, just for instance, you know, we've here on Sunday morning, we just finished looking at over a period of 3 months, we looked at Nehemiah and Esther. And, you know, those two men, Nehemiah and Esther, both had to deal with some very, very difficult times and had to be able to make good decisions during those stressful times. You know, we think about anxiety, which really is just the idea of worry, is very common today. I don't care what time of the year it is, what's going on. It could be sunshine outside and you can have so much anxiety going on, you miss the beautiful day. It could be a storm outside and you know, that can bring your day down when you're having a sunshiny day, so to speak. But when you think about anxiety, if you are to define it, it is defined in this way, one way anyway, is an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear. Another is self-doubt about one's capacity to cope. And I think those definitions are really pretty spot on, because worry, I always say it this way, that worry affects you in multiple ways. It affects you first mentally, but then it will also affect you physically, because worry can lead to, in my mind, I see it leading to depression, and worry and depression is going to manifest itself in physical ways. Those who are depressed sometimes will overlook their physical problems. They'll, you know, if they were, you know, let's say, for example here, you know, someone who is a very healthy eater, well, if they're depressed, maybe during that time of depression, they're not so healthy, and so their health suffers, which is a very real problem. I'm just thinking about it this way. The whole quarantine thing that almost everyone in this country has had to deal with this year has led to anxiety and, in turn, many times led to depression. In fact, it has been shown already, almost from the very beginning, that in a very short period of, quote, quarantine, it has an effect on a person's mental health. My wife's grandmother, who lives in Kansas, because where she is at, they've had to quarantine. She's in, it's not an assisted living, but it's in an apartment complex, basically with some other people who are older in age as well. It's not an assisted living or anything like that, but they all have their own apartment. Well, because of the virus and things, at different times she's had been in quarantine. And recently, at one point, she was quarantined, I believe it was for 6 weeks straight because of a surgery she had to have because of an outbreak there and on. She was quarantined to her room. Now, at times, they would try to get her out of the room and walk around outside when it's just her and the worker there. And she commented on how much difference it made just to open up the window and be able to see the sunlight and see outside, those types of things, how much that changed her outlook and her mental state. Well, anxiety is the same way. You know, worry, if you allow it to overcome you and you're constantly concerned about things that many times which we have no control over is what we're most concerned about, it does affect us. But you think about these definitions, in an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear. I think to me, the apprehension and fear is the biggest part of it all. It's, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We're afraid what's going to happen. And we know this really goes right back to Matthew chapter 6, when Christ talks about worry and he asks a question, which one of you can add one cubit to his stature by worry? Well, you can't. But before we go any further, because that's my mini sermon for today, I'm going to let Matt add anything he likes as we look at this idea of anxiety and worry and how it affects us and really how it touches everybody, really of any age. Okay, now I'll be quiet. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, anxiety is a true and real thing. Some people don't believe that it really does hurt you, but it can it can immobilize you. I'll just tell you right now, my anxieties are different than my wife's. Like, my anxieties are, I'll get the anxiety of, okay, am I going to be able to take care of my family today? Am I going to have, are we going to have enough funds to do this? Or it's kind of like monetary, I guess, anxiety of, because I grew up in a big family, a family of 11, I got 10 brothers and sisters, and maybe it peaks back from that, or I don't know what it does, but the anxiety comes where you always think, man, are we going to have enough to do this? Or, but then you think about it and you look back on your anxieties when you do start worrying about that stuff, and you look, man, it's all okay, you know? Or you sometimes think, am I going to have enough to do this? Or what are people going to think if I can't do that, or I don't have enough money? Or, but kind of like God says is in Matthew 6, 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day and its own trouble. So, and I'm not saying that you can switch a light switch and turn off anxiety and turn it back on, because sometimes, like you said, you do miss the day. You do miss the day ahead. And, you know, if you can get out in the sunshine, I'll be honest with you, sunshine is one of the major, I guess it's vitamin D you get, and that helps with your anxiety and depression. And it's something that God gave us naturally, right? And like you were talking about the food you eat, or the food, like say somebody's eating healthy and then they're feeling depressed and they eat bad. Yeah, that's gonna tear their body down. But one thing is God gives us so much in the scriptures about worrying, and sometimes you have, in all honesty, you have to force yourself to go look for it. You have to force, because there are some days where you're in the anxiety and you're thinking, man, you're just constantly worried about that. That's what you're constantly worried about. You're not worried about, well, what does God think about today? It's just constantly in your mindset. It's almost like Satan's just tempting you constantly. And sometimes you just, I hate to say it, but you have to force yourself to look in the scriptures, mm-hmm. You know? So.
Well, when we think about worry, I think about how it causes you to lose, and this is what you're talking about, to lose focus. You know, like you said, you have to force yourself to look at the scriptures. Not the idea we're not wanting to, is that other things begin to cloud your judgment. You know, I think about, you know, for example, when Peter went to Christ and on the water, you know, he asked Christ to, you know, permit him to come, and he does. But his loss of focus is why he sank. He saw the storms and those types of things, and he began to worry, and he sank. And it's the same way for us today. We're not walking mm-hmm. the water to go to Jesus in the literal sense, but we are trying to get to where he dwells, of course, the heavenly home. And so we have all these worries and things getting our way, and which is, I think, very clearly a tool of the devil and of the world today, is that you have this focus, you're looking forward. Well, let's make you do something, look to the right, look to the left, so you forget what you're doing and you lose track, and next thing you know, you're going off the wrong path. And like you say, you know, the idea of, you know, sunlight and those types of things, it's amazing what little things will do to totally improve your day and to totally change your mindset. If I'm really, really stressed, it's one of the things I do many times is I will just silence my phone, with the exception of, you know, unless it's my wife or something. And then I don't answer it, and I'll go out somewhere and I'll go hiking somewhere for a couple hours. And that's one of the ways I deal, is just to get away from everything. And like you said, you know, getting outside, enjoying nature. And every time I do that, when I get done, I always feel much, much better. And we have to do those types of things sometimes to help us, you know, relax and refocus and think, okay, you know, I'm worried about this, but, you know, should I really be worried about it? Is there anything I can do about it? No. This is, you know, this situation, is it a stinky situation, so to speak, sometimes? Yeah. But sometimes there's nothing to do about it, but you just have to just get through it. You know, it's just part of life. But I think about 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. When we back up here in verse 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, he says, therefore, yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And one of the things I always focus on here is in verse 7, which says, all your care. You know, some people sometimes who we are acquaintances with will talk to you about maybe some things, but the hard stuff we kind of keep closer to the chest, so to speak, whatever we think is the hard stuff. But here in verse 7, he says, all your care, bring all your care to him. And so the stuff that, you know, we think is petty and the stuff we think, well, this is pretty big deal, it's really, really bothering me, and that's the big stuff. He says, bring all that to me, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, the Lord does most definitely care for us. And the idea here to cast aside, literally, is we are told to put what troubles us away, and we do that by giving it to God through prayer. And when we say sometimes, when we use that phrase, giving it to God, some people kind of look at that kind of like a denominational concept. The idea is that we pray to God about it, and we do our best to move on. We pray about it, and we stop worrying about it. It doesn't mean we don't think about it ever again, but it doesn't dominate our day anymore. You know, it's one thing to pray about it and try to move on than to pray about it and just allowing it to continue to dominate our day. If it's all we ever think about, then it's dominating our day. You look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here we back up here. This is Christ speaking. So in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it was Peter encouraging us to cast our cares upon Christ. And one of the reasons he does that is because we go back to when Christ was on the earth. What did he say in Matthew 11, 28? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And one thing about that labor and heavy laden are those who are working in this world, trying to be a faithful Christian, accomplish the task of providing for themselves and for their families, and all the stresses they're in bear down on us. So those who labor and are heavy laden, just the everyday stuff that wears us out. And he says, you bring those things to him, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you look at verse 28, the latter part of verse 28, we have to remember, what is the source of rest he mentions there? What's him? He says, and I will give you rest. He's the source of it. And so, you know, and we talk about this sometimes, and we have to remind ourselves, it's easy to talk about these things like this, but it's not so easy sometimes when you're in the midst of it to do it. Sometimes we have to, like Matt was saying, we have to stop and force ourselves to do what we need to do, which is going back to scriptures, also, you know, praying to God and stopping. And sometimes, if I'm perfectly honest, when difficult times come, sometimes I'm embarrassed at myself that it takes sometimes so long for me to stop and say, you know what, why haven't I prayed about this already like 1,000 times? I think that is the pressure of the world today, that and the stresses of it, that it pushes upon us when we realize, I haven't even prayed about this yet. What am I doing? And so, you know, that's what we need to be doing. And so, but anxiety has a way to most definitely cause us to lose sight of things that we should be doing. We know how to handle it. Sometimes the stress of it, we forget in the midst of it. We catch ourselves and think, okay, let's back up and let's start doing this step by step by step. And so I'm going to stop there and let Brother Matt add anything you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about carrying our worries and stresses. And sometimes if we carry them so deep, we're not relying on God. And I remember a couple podcasts ago, you were talking about prayer when we were just talking about it, is you'll ask people, hey, have you prayed about it? And they'll look at you like, oh, whatever, you know? And it's like, no, then you really need to pray about these things. And we really need to take these to God. Like he says, is cast your burdens, you know? I mean, even God can take everything that you can handle. I mean, we sometimes think, no, I'll take this one. I got this one, God. You hang back and you relax. You take it easy. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be covetous. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do for me? And I just have a thing in there of what can man do for me is nothing. God can do everything for us. And I know it's talking about brotherly love there, moral direction, but he's also saying he's never going to forsake you. And he's going to take those, like it says in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our burdens may seem like they're bearing us down but God wants all those, and he just doesn't want to get a part of it. He wants all of it, you know, and I think even worry, anxiety, burdens, whatever you want to call it, that can really tear you down. I mean, it can literally tear you down, and to cast all those things upon a loving God who wants all those things, we read it daily, but sometimes we get so caught up in our daily lives or our daily worries and our daily struggles that we think, you know what, I'm going to take this one. And are we really fully relying on God at that point? We're not. We need to humble ourselves and know that we have a loving God that will take our burdens and will take everything. And I think that that's awesome. That's awesome to know, and that's awesome to reassure. And like just this little podcast we're doing about anxiety, I mean, it helps me even just talking about it. You know, it helps to get it out there and discuss things and to open up your Bibles and to know that you have a loving God that doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow. You know, the past is the past, the present is now, and the future will take care of its own. So,
you know, and that's exactly right. That what you're talking about there, I think about how, and this is like what you're talking about, you know, if it's in the past, we can't do anything to change it. Mm-hmm. If it's sin, we can repent of it. If it's something something going on today, then we can try to work to change it, but we need to make sure to address it. We need to make sure that we go to God about it. If it's in the future, we should pray about it, because we're honest, a lot of stuff that we think may happen in the future may not even happen. You know, you think about, for example, you think about Y2K back in 2000 when everybody thought the world was going to melt down and that was going to be it, and nothing happened. The next day, what happened? Oh, it's just another day. You know, everybody panicked for about 5 minutes and then realized, oh, okay, it's going to work. You know, that's pretty much the gist of it. I don't remember actually anything happening at all, but I think that's a lot of it. We worry about things that may or may not happen, but also in the things that are happening, that is going on. You know, we worry about the health of a loved one, we worry about our own health, worried about, like you say, you know, our own finances. But I think everybody, I don't care who you are, you worry about it. Because, you know, we want to provide for your children, you want to provide for your spouse, you want to make sure the things that need to be repaired can be repaired. And the list goes on and on and on. And so everyday things that we worry about. But those are things that we should be praying to God about every day anyway. I think about, you know, we should, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about how we should pray without ceasing, the idea that we're always ready to pray. Not literally you're praying 24 hours a day, but that is we're praying people. We pray all the time. We pray constantly, it seems like. But I kind of think about how we need to make sure we're praying throughout the day, but also think about how it's almost like, you know, when a person goes into work, sometimes depending on where you're working at, you clock in, right? You check in. I kind of think about how that's how we should do every day as a Christian. When we wake up, we should pray to God. We check in. Okay, this is what I'm worried about today, God. But not only bring our worries to Him, but I mean more than just that. But since this is our topic today, we need to make sure that if there's something on our mind for that day, that we start off the day with the very best of our ability. Start off that day with going to God about it, and then at the end of the day, we close it out the same way. We have our prayer time with our families and those types of things, but us as individuals, we need to make sure that we are checking in, you know, to use that term. I think we should do that multiple times throughout the day, if we're honest. You know, it's just like, you know, sometimes depending on who you're talking to and the type of work you're involved in, we probably check in with our spouse throughout the day, right? We probably send them a text here or there and that type of thing. And with God, the same way, you know. We think about instant message. Well, you know, God is the one who began that, right? I mean, we think prayer is. Yeah. And so, and there is never no out of network problem there. But, you know, that's what we should be doing. We should be checking in all the time. And I think if we do that more, and I include myself in that, if we do that more, we're going to find that our days are going to start seeming like they're less and less worry endemic, less and less worry about worry in those days. Now, when we continue looking at this idea of giving anxiety away, and I've done a lesson on this before, like I told Matt before we started, I've done a lesson on this before, actually probably a couple, just like any preacher has, but they're really the crux of the lesson, or the key text, came from Psalm 55 and verse 2. Which says here, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And so we've already talked about this first part, cast your burden on the Lord, there when we talk about there in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, and Matthew 11, 28. But I want to notice the second section here as we look at this. He says here, and he shall sustain you. Well, the idea there, I think, is very clearly the idea that the Lord will see us through. You know, think about the Apostle Paul. He speaks there and to those in Corinth. He tells us that there is no temptation as overtaking such as common to man, But God, who is faithful, will now allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but the temptation will also make the way escape that you may be able to bear it. This 1 Corinthians 15:33. I get those things turned around sometimes. But anyway, that's the idea there, right? The idea there is that God's going to be there with you all the time. And if you hear a jingle right now, my cat decided to have a meal. Anyway, but you, uncensored, right? We think about what Paul is talking about there is the idea that God is always there. Everyone has gone through at least similar things that you have gone through. It doesn't matter if you're talking about some disease, someone else has probably had it before you, some physical hardship, someone's done the same thing, some marital issues, someone's had those types of things going on before, financial issues, everyone's, we're honest, probably half the planet or more has had financial issues at some point. And so on and on, and the idea that the Apostle Paul is reminding us is that we are not alone in whatever struggle we're going through. We're not alone in that. There's always been someone else who's gone through it as well. That's not to say, well, we're trying to justify ourselves. We're trying to say that there are others who have gone through it, and so can we.
So what I want to bring into is, like, and he shall sustain you. I mean, he will pick you up, right? I mean, no matter what we're going through, we have God who will lift us out, lift us by the bootstraps, right? And be like, hey, I got you. You know, and one verse that we kind of live by, not live by, you shouldn't live by at all, but is Hebrews 12, verse 11. I know this is talking about chastening, but it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So basically what it's saying is, I know it's talking about discipline, but it's also disciplining yourself to, maybe do the things that are unpleasant of getting through your anxieties or getting through your worries. And how should we do that? Well, the way we should do it is we should, like you said, pray to a loving Father, instant message to our loving Father, right? By prayer, talk to him daily. And it does help when you get up, you're feeling anxious, go to God in prayer. I mean, I know we like to say, well, that's the Christian's only answer is go to prayer, go to your God in prayer. It is. I mean, that's the main thing of God wants to hear us. God wants to talk to us, even though we're going through whatever we're going through. He wants to hear from us, and you can find all your answers from the Word. And he will sustain you in everything.
You know, and we go back and we look in the Bible and we find people who've gone through similar stuff before. We can see how they handle it. You know, think about David, a man who, him and Bathsheba. I mean, it's sad, the man who did so much great stuff that his occasion with Bathsheba is always one that's brought up as well. But he learned from it. And so what can we take from that? We can take that sin has consequences, right? We think about Solomon, a man who's supposed to be, the wisest man that ever lived. God literally gave him wisdom, and yet he proved to be many times, because he has free will, he made some very bad decisions, which tells you that you can be very smart and still do stupid stuff. And that's what he did. You know, we read there in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he talks about all the stuff he tried to do to find happiness, and which tells us what? Well, if we're working early and working for material things, then we're working for nothing. And so the Bible truly does have all the answers to man's problems. Like you said, some people will think, well, that's the Christian's only answer is to go to God in prayer. But that should be the very first one. I mean, you talk to someone in the world, what do they do? Well, they go and talk to one of their friends, right? Well, we talk to someone as well. It's just maybe not be our friend first. It's going to be God first. Mm-hmm. And so our source of counsel is just different. But, we look in the Bible and we find people have gone through so much stuff. Family issues. Look at Cain and Abel. I mean, come on. The guy snapped and killed his own brother. I mean, if that's not family issues, I don't know what it is. What happened? Well, Cain was punished for it, which tells you what should you do? You should work out your issues and not have problems with the pride and jealousy and everything else that he had. Joseph and his brothers and other, problems there as well with his brothers. We look at, well, what about government? Well, we find with, you go to the book of Daniel, and you got three men, maybe tossed in burning fire furnace because they wouldn't bow down to a golden image. You got Daniel, he wanted pray to the king and not pray to God for that set period of time, because so, he's going to pray to God no matter what happened. Well, he's cast into den of lions. Yeah. You know, over and over and over again, we find all these different examples of people who did that, who did had to go through difficult times. Like we talked about here recently with Eli and his wicked sons. I mean, what did he have to do? He had to come to the realization that sin has consequences, even in the family, that no one is spared. And which tells us we need to make sure we do the very best we can to teach our children. Now, they have free will. We're not going to be able to make them do what they need to do, but we can make sure that they know what is right, that they don't have to second guess what is right. But we're going to stop there today because we're already over time. So when we come back next week, we'll just pick up from here. And we'll continue looking at really this idea of how he sustains us, because I think we need to talk about that, because I think some people don't realize just how much and how God does that. So we'll come back next week and we'll continue looking at how to deal with anxiety and stress in God's word. So we do thank you for being here with us today. We hope you enjoyed this program, and we hope to see you again next time. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.